All right. Hey, everybody. Rex Bear Leak Project reporting to you live in a garage down by the river. And I want to share with you the latest and breaking information in regards to these 7-foot-tall floating aliens in Peru. This gets quite interesting, especially when we look at the timelines and what the official news is claiming. This is quite, quite obvious in my opinion, but it's an opinion, so I could be wrong. And I could be right. Here we go. All right, let's do this quick. So Peru, 7-foot-tall aliens. In advance for that, Transformers 7, Rise of the Beasts is released. And I thought it was a great film, actually. I was pretty impressed. It did get, like, it wasn't a blockbuster. It didn't make the money that they were hoping for. And that's not really what I want to talk about, though, with that film. What's interesting about that film is it's located in Peru. And in the film, you have what looks like a 7-foot-tall metallic alien dude that his suit is so powerful it's impenetrable to human weaponry, at least the modern weaponry they have access to, like bullets and stuff like that. It just bounces right off, okay? Very interesting. A month prior to that, featured in Peru. And then, this is where it gets even more exciting. So Operation Sentinel, Operation Happy Sir, Space Force! They start their operations in July. They start their operations with Peru July 22nd, and it runs through, June 22nd, and it runs through July 24th. Wow. Guess what? When reading reports about what the villagers saw, they asked for military intervention. They said, hey, we need help. We need the military's help. Space Force. And then there's the testimony of the villagers claiming that a 15-year-old girl almost got kidnapped by one of these space aliens, and they cut her neck. She went to the hospital, and according to a prosecutor and a news report that I'm going to share with you in a moment, they have the data to verify that. And I'm thinking to myself, that's pretty spooky. And then I'm thinking to myself, if this is a 7-foot-tall space alien, or let's just say it's somebody in an advanced jet suit, and they're attempting to kidnap a 15-year-old girl, don't you think that it's quite odd that they didn't, but they left a scratch on her neck? Like, how bad is the scratch? What's that about? Was that to create fear? Did they really want to kidnap her, or did they want to create this fear in the village? And was it really space aliens? Probably not space aliens, okay? I'm going to go out on a limb here, and I'm going to say it's probably not space aliens. And I'm also going to go out on a limb here and say I don't think that it was the Air Force, because they've got other things to do. But what about some of the, like Save the World, man? Space Force, hoo-yah! So, but what about some shady organizations that might try and stir the pot, right? Maybe they're like, well, Space Force is out there and Transformers came out and it had this guy flying around in a spacesuit that's 7-foot-tall and he's got all these high technologies and they're featuring it in Peru. Like, do they have some black ops, secret projects going on that basically nobody knows about that just goes around and stirs the pot? I don't know. I'm really starting to question the way that these things get put together and then the way the news spins it and then the way the timelines take place. How much of it is, I don't know. Very weird. So I've got the timeline put together. We've got the whiteboard out here. And as you can see, I've got actually a black marker, thick black marker here. So you'll be able to see it better on the whiteboard. But before I do that, let me share with you some articles that I've got pulled up here. And how's your day going? There we go. All right. That's what I like. According to local reports from the Akitu indigenous people, the extraterrestrials, or strange beings who have large heads and yellow eyes, have been launching attacks on the community since July 11th, including one particular incident involving a 15-year-old girl who was grabbed from behind in an attempted abduction. The aliens in question are believed to wear protective armor and round shoes with a red light on their heel. They hover above the ground and fly away when shot at. That's dazeddigital.com. Then Vanguard.com. Peruvian government prosecutors investigating the case believe the criminal gold cartels began using jetpacks to prospect for gold deeper into the Alto Nené jungle. Above a local teen shows an image of the jetpacks she and others witnessed during the flying alien attacks. Well, the image that she shows on her phone is an image of Frank Zapata, actually, on his jetpack. And I think it's when he was attempting to cross the... he was crossing a large body of water. So you can read about that. You can see the image. It's clearly not these aliens in Peru. Something completely different. Did they have certain jetpacks similar to this that they picked up on the black market or they made themselves? I don't know. One can speculate that. But I find that very interesting that they show an image of this guy in a jet, you know, with a jetpack on his shoe, with a jetpack and then these thrusters on his shoes, going across the channel or something like that, or the strait. I don't remember. I'll look it up. I did it on a previous podcast. Then we go on to read from Daily Caller. These illegal immigrants were using high-tech equipment like jetpacks to attack and scare the local residents. Per La Repubblica, one resident reportedly saw one of the aliens descend from the air in an attempt to kidnap a minor, a story the prosecutors say is now verified given his findings. And you can read about that, Daily Caller. And per La Repubblica, according to this article. Then we go on to read about the Space Force, Southcom.mil. Peru bolsters international space collaboration with key U.S. partners during exercise. Operation Happy Sir, a space exercise nested under Exercise Resolute Sentinel, which is interesting because in Resolute Sentinel, this exercise, this massive exercise of 2023, they opened a new chapter in international space collaboration at the Centro Nacional de Operaciones de Imagines Satellites, or CNOIS. I need to learn Spanish. I apologize. In southern Peru. This is in southern Peru. This started in June. Wow. The timing's perfect. The space exercise aims to bolster the region's emerging space programs. Then it goes on to say, Happy Sir's Theater Space Operations Center Commander, Peruvian Air Force Lieutenant Colonel Javier DeFonso highlighted the need for collaborative efforts with partner nations and interests in space domain awareness. For Peru, it's very important, the cooperation and partnership with nations, DeFonso said. For example, 2 months ago, the Peruvian Space Agency and Peruvian Air Force just signed an agreement with the U.S. Space Command. We now have access to different kinds of space information useful for different proposals, considering the different threats that we have in space. Well, how about the threats that we have here on Earth? How about those? Because anyway, all right. So let me share with you the whiteboard. Here we go. Peru, 7-foot-tall aliens with advanced jet suits in the Alto Nené jungle. Villagers are being terrorized. A 15-year-old girl, her neck gets cut in an attempted kidnapping by these hovering green goblin aliens with high technologies. This is July 11th that this starts happening. And then villagers ask the military for intervention. We need your help. And I'm sure that you do. Well, guess what? That's okay, because we're here to help you. We're here to protect you. Happy Sir, Theater Operations Center Command. I read that quote to you. I just read the quote. And you know what? The dark side of the moon. We'll talk about that in a minute. What about the face peelers, though? This is where it gets interesting, the face peelers. Now, you've all heard the stories about Vietnam and how troops we're given these specific goggles that allow them to see a part of the light spectrum that we don't see with our physical eyes. And it just scared the hell out of them because they thought they were seeing demons and these things and this weird, you know, and this weird frequency that we just don't typically pick up. So they changed the night vision goggles to a different technology. And then you've heard about the giant spiders out there. And then Predator comes out in 1987. Now, if you've seen the film Predator, I mean, it's definitely when Arnold was in his prime, right?
I'll be back.
And the film was phenomenal. And in the film, you've got this like 7 foot tall reptoid alien that has this metallic suit where he can become invisible, and he hunts humans as trophies. Like, you know, trophy hunters would go out and hunt for a buck, as an example. And these things are pissed. They're big and they're in the jungle and they peel faces. They're face peelers. Well, interesting. And then it's also interesting to note that it's in the jungle. I did look up the location. It's in the Mexican jungle. So it wasn't in Peru, but it is in this tropical location. And for those of you that know about technologies, like the infrared stuff, if you've got infrared technologies, if you've got night vision technologies in the jungle, in the dense jungle, it's a lot more difficult to see stuff in the jungle from satellites, folks. And there aren't nearly as many cameras out there. So if you're a freaking space alien reptoid that wants to go hunt humans, are you going to do it in the city or are you going to do it in the jungle, right? So I don't know. It's pretty trippy. But you've got these old stories and of these like reptoids that come out from inner Earth, and then they're in pop culture like crazy. So it's not just the alternative communities. It's pop culture. It's in comics. It's in cartoons. It's in films. It's in TV shows. I mean, it's everywhere. They've got ancient mythology talking about these things. They've got ancient statues and structures that talk about these things. And now we're finding out that even in the public sector, they're admitting that there was a time when people walked with dinosaurs. We've known that for a long time, but they've told us it's not true. And now they're admitting that. So what about an advanced bipedal reptoid species that likes to, you know, mess with genetics? I mean, is that out of the question, or does it make more sense that they came here from like Zeta Reticuli? They're like,
humans, we have a contact.
Or are they from here? I don't know. But then there's the theory that they're not all bad, just like people. There's good ones and bad ones. I mean, if you look at the, you know, lizard community, you've got iguanas, which are vegetarians, and then you've got Komodo dragons. So they'll eat meat all day long. Hello. All right, so let's get back to this. Villagers ask for military intervention. Space Force, we're here to protect you from the predators, the face peelers. I mean, the predator's a reptoid-like dude, is he not? He's got advanced technology. He hunts humans as trophies. Well, what are some other, films or TV shows that show these like highly advanced jet suit? You know, you've got Mandalorians, you've got Star Wars, you've got Spider-Man with the Green Goblin, G.I. Joe. And then there's another one that I can't remember the name of that came out, I think around 2015, 2016, where it's an alien invasion and these reptoid beings have to wear space suits because the sun is too extreme. So they have to geoengineer the planet and the Navy's involved. Navy! And then you've got the tower at the end that they have to blow up in order to save the world. It's a pretty easy plot. I mean, if these things come from another galaxy, do you think it's going to be as simple as just knocking down a tower? You better work on some different war games, because they're going to, like, body invasion, body snatchers kind of stuff. They'll invade this planet in a way that you'll never expect. And I've talked about this, actually. I've talked about this, but you can hear about that on Loot Project. So you've got face peelers, right? You've got these face peelers. You've got the Transformers 7, and then I just watched Guardians of the Galaxy 3, which was awesome, by the way. I love the creativity that you guys have in Guardians of the Galaxy 3. Great job. You're not just doing the whole copy and paste thing like that one company does after Avengers 2. It's like everything's just been, let's copy and paste and print. Copy, paste, beep, 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 beep. We'll use this. Anyway, so does it have that creative force anymore? Well, Guardians of the Galaxy 3, it does. It was a good one. I liked it. So they had a reference. They actually had a part in there. I'm just going to tell you, this is a spoiler alert, just one part. Somebody's face gets peeled off in the movie, okay? Just saying. And then, what else we got? We've got, Unicron. Unicron is the name. Unicron is the name of the planet-consuming Transformer in Transformers 7. And Unicron makes me think of unicorn, but Unicron actually means one time, because Una is one, Cron is time. At one time. And this planet-sized, planet-eating Transformer in Transformers 7, which, mind you, Peru is, that's where the key is. Well, this planet, Unicron, reminds me so much of Sitchin's version of Nibiru. And I don't even necessarily believe in Nibiru the way Sitchin describes it. I do know that Nibiru is Sumerian for the crossing, but what actually is crossing, I don't know. Is it a rogue planet? Maybe, maybe not. Are there a multitude of rogue planets? Yeah, there are. And Tess Clark was on Leak Project yesterday doing a great slideshow presentation. You should subscribe to her channel on Odyssey and on YouTube, where she was showing the data sets on these different rogue planets that have been talked about going back far before Herringer or even Sitchin, but who was I thinking of? Anyway, Nanu. Let's get back to Nibiru, Parallels, Unicron. The Transformers themselves are like the Parallels. They come from another planet. Some of them say, you know, want to help humans and save the planet. Others just want to get back to their planet and they don't care about the humans. And that totally reminds me of these battles that could be connected with the Anunnaki. Do you know that Anu is the father of the Anunnaki? The Anunnaki are referred to in previous biblical texts and ancient, actually before the Bible even, they were referred to, and then they were changed, and the Council of Nicaea and other organizations attempted to unify the people by bringing these ancient religions and texts and beliefs together and unifying them a monotheistic religion with the triad system, and hiding secrets only for those that are initiated within the public texts. So the Anunnaki, if you look at even the term angel, on the father of the Anunnaki, angel, angel. Very interesting, very interesting. So now we're dealing with a highly advanced reality where the modern day W fare will be used through various genres and tactics. It's not going to be like we're seeing in some places right now. Those are just, I shouldn't say just, those are very primitive and barbaric forms of this ancient art. We're dealing with it in a different fashion now. And then we've got, you know, people in Peru that are being terrorized. And so there's somebody that, so I've got a friend and somebody that I've interviewed before that's been to Peru, and he's been to the jungles in Peru, and he's seen things out there that I don't even know if he's talked about publicly. So I'll just leave it at this. Mandalorian type stuff going on in the jungle? Maybe. Yep, maybe. All right, so what else we got here? I think that is it. Thank you so much for watching. I hope you have a beautiful day. Hit the bell. Be well. Hope to see you at the Part 2 Human Design Conference we've got coming up the beginning of next month. You can get your tickets at ViewStub. And be the change you want to see, everybody. And check us out at Leak Project. Subscribe to our Leak Project channel. We've got tons of exclusive content at leakproject.com. Oh, yeah.